let's get our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and you can stand if you will, please, and we'll read verses 1 through 9 here. And so since he's dealing with this thing of carnality so much, I want to try to preach a little thought tonight, and this is not all that there actually is to it. Right. I'm just scratching just a little bit of paint off the surface, but I want to preach to you a little bit tonight on the solution to carnality.
Amen.
The Bible says here in verse number 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect." Notice what he said there, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God have prepared for them that love him." And we always stop right there, but it's interesting to read verse 17 because it goes together with verse number 9, verse number 10. "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." So you just can't leave verse 9 by itself and say, wow, it's written that eyes not seen or ear heard. It's not even in the heart of man the thing that's God prepared for it. Well, if you don't read verse number 10, you're left there in limbo. But that's not what the Bible says, that God's revealed them to us.
That's right.
So what's really happened is the ear has heard.
Yeah.
And it has entered the heart of man.
Amen.
The things that God prepared for them to love him. So I thought I'd throw that in there. Thank you. You'll be seated tonight. The solution to carnality. We know Paul is dealing here with carnality that's in the midst of the church. And so he also carries this theme through many chapters dealing with the various subjects that were in relation to carnality. In this chapter, Paul seems to focus on the wisdom of God. And so, of course, growing in grace and gaining wisdom in the way of God is the solution to correct carnality. I love the books that Tozer wrote because he's challenged me to rethink how I think about God. And you and I, as we are, we bring God down to our level.
Yep.
And when we do that, he ceases to be the God that in reality that he really is. Amen.
Right. Yes, sir.
And so we gotta be careful with these things. And so we notice, first of all, the approach of Paul in verses 1 through 5. He talking about down through here how he is, especially verse number 4, he said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." And so we must remember that Paul was a brilliant man.
Yes.
I mean, this man knew at least 10 to 12 languages and was a very intelligent man.
Sure.
Yet he did not let all of his knowing and his knowledge hinder him from being able to reach these people. We notice Paul's approach was one of simplicity.
Amen.
He says in verse number 1, "I came to you not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring you the testimony of God."
Right.
And so the words excellency of speech refers to speech that's elevated or prominent. Paul knew that superior speech was no substitute for the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
And so Paul, he said, or of wisdom. The word wisdom refers to the broad and full of intelligence. Paul knew that education cannot substitute Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And so I'm afraid what we're facing, a lot of churches, a lot of pastors are dealing with, they're very close to becoming professionals when they're preaching.
Right.
And God ain't interested in me being a professional.
Amen.
He wants me to be a preacher, amen.
Right.
And so we have to look out for that as well. He said in verse 4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Those enticing words refers to persuasive language, but Paul knew that logic was no substitute for the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And so if the Holy Spirit does not do it, it won't last amount to anything, amen. And so he comes to them, his approach was one with simplicity.
Yeah.
Number 2, it was with the Spirit of God, of course. course. He said, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Amen. The Spirit of God and the power of God. So this word demonstration refers to making manifest, showing forth of proof. Paul had the proof of the Spirit. His preaching was inspired and empowered by the breath of God. Now, folks, that's what I want. I want my preaching to be inspired and empowered by the breath of God, because that's what makes the difference. Amen. Paul had the proof of the Spirit, but he had the proof of the power. This power refers to the effectiveness and the authority of Paul's message. Amen. As Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, he said these words: "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, that as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." So this is no doubt a missing feature in most fundamental Baptist churches tonight, and might I add, to many preachers. Amen. Churches need preachers and pastors that'll preach in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And so I thank you for those that pray for that when you pray. I know that many of you, when I call on you, pray that I will have the power of God. That's exactly how you're supposed to pray. Amen. And I need that. I want that. I desire that. If we're going to be effective, if God is going to help you, He's got to help me. Amen.
Yes.
And so we have everything at our fingertips, but we lack the most important element, and that's the breath and the power of God. I mean, I'm stepping back and I'm thinking, Tozer, if you thought that God had done pulled off the church in the 60s, where's God at tonight? Yeah. Where's the power of God at tonight? I'll tell you, my dear brother, sister, we need to pray for the power of God. We need to pray that God releases power, that the Holy Ghost would not be grieved at us and hurt at us in such a way that He stands aloof and stands afar off from us. We want Him to draw nigh. And the Bible said that He'd draw nigh to those of a contrite and humble spirit. And that's what we got to do, ladies and gentlemen. We got to humble ourselves down and beg God to help us. Amen. And so we not only see that He come in simplicity and by the Spirit of God, but He comes to them talking about a solid foundation. And this is important here, verse number 5. Look in your Bible, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men,
amen,
but in the power of God. And we got to be careful with that. And I'm not against it, okay? I don't consider myself a very intellectual person. I'm not, but I know a lot of my preacher friends are very intellectual.
Yes, sir.
But you got to be careful with that.
Yes.
Because this verse right here says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men.
Exactly right. Yes, sir.
But in the power of God. So we don't have no worries about that around here at Temple. You ain't going to stand in my wisdom, but you'll stand in the power of God. Amen. So it's a solid foundation. Verse number 5, the first part of this verse, that your faith should stand in the wisdom of men, that's a limited faith.
Yes, yes.
This wisdom of man is limited. The wisdom of man can be debated, can be doubted, can be destroyed. Many times when preachers fall, they take some church members with them, and the source of this goes back to the reality that their faith stood in the wisdom of men.
Yes.
A weak foundation makes for a wavering faith. So your faith must be founded on the right place, the right person. Faith must be able to stand on its own. Someone said faith needs no crutches. And so our faith is not to be grounded in a man per se. Well, sure, you're supposed to respect the pastor, honor the pastor, and you folk do a tremendous, way far above job of doing that, but your faith does not rest solely in me. It rests in the Word of God. Amen. Listen, I can fall. I can fail. I can get completely out of the ministry. I can blow everything in a heartbeat if God don't keep me in His will and keep me in His grace. And my friend, don't be like so many other churches that have done that. And when the preacher falls, the church goes to pieces. Why? Because they had so much faith, they lifted that man so high that when he fell, they fell with him. Amen.
Amen.
No, friend, don't put your faith on that. Your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. Amen. That is a limited faith if that's all you have.
That's right.
But we see a limitless faith.
Yes.
In verse number 5. But in the power of God. Amen. That word power speaks of the force of God. The ability and the authority makes for a sure foundation and allows for a solid faith. Someone said pain and prayer with faith in God can accomplish anything. Pain and prayer with faith in God can accomplish anything. So Paul's approach was with simplicity, with his focus on the Son of God, aided by the power of the Spirit of God, resting on a solid foundation.
Amen.
So that no doubt is a good pattern when you are dealing with carnality.
Yes.
So we see his approach, the approach of Paul. Let me say number two, the admonition to the perfect. He says right here, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet not the wisdom of this world or the princes of the world that come to naught. So don't forget, of all the bad stuff that Paul did have to say about the Corinth church, he did have some good stuff to say about the Corinth church. And so Paul is dealing with the carnal. He does not leave off who he calls the perfect. Now this term perfect here, we know, does not relate to sinless perfection, but to those of the redeemed who have pushed aside the bottle and have sat down at the table and want the meat of the Word of God. So and I want to say something about this meat. If you go on down into chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, read along with me here. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2. He says, and I, brethren, cannot speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ.
Right.
He said, I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal.
Right.
And here's the reason why Paul knew they were carnal. For whereas there is among you, when you have carnal people, this is what's among the people: envying and strife.
That's right.
And divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men?
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 5, we know these verses. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 5, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need of that one teacher again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe.
Yeah.
He said, verse 14 of chapter 5, Hebrews 5:14, but strong meat belonging to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Uh-huh.
And so, sure, we start out with milk.
Yeah.
Paul said, I have fed you with milk.
Yeah.
And not with meat. But what Paul's problems with these people was, he said, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now. Are you able?
That's right.
So he said, you're not making much spiritual progress in your walk with God.
Right.
You're not growing. He said, but strong meat belong to them that are full of age. So you start out with milk as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But eventually, you're going to want to set aside the bottle and get something more solid.
Right.
It works that way in the physical realm, and it works that way in the spiritual realm.
Right.
Now, this wisdom is not the wisdom of the world.
Right.
It's not the science and the learning of man. And you have to be careful because we're so connected to the world. And I wish God would help us with that, but we are.
Amen.
And if you watch much television, watch much movies, you're going to be fed their philosophy and their ideas.
Amen.
You ever watch those movies when people die and they wake up in wherever they're going? We just finished watching some junk probably. And this little boy, he dies and he wakes up in the forest.
Oh,
I mean, he's died. But what's that telling me? What's that putting in my mind? When people die, they're going to a forest. When people die, there's no such thing as heaven or hell. They just go just somewhere else. That's how the world thinks. The movie producers made it that way. That's how they operate. That's how they think. And if you watch that over and over again, that's how you get to thinking. That's the reason we're carnal. We watch too much junk. I told my wife, I said, we're going on a fast, and we're fasting the TV.
Amen.
I'd advise you do that for the next week or so.
Amen.
You want revival? Most people don't want bad enough to turn the TV off.
That's right.
Well, get quiet right there.
Oh, yeah.
But it's okay. You love Jesus enough to turn that idiot box off for a week?
Right. That's right.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Well, most people ain't going to do it. But that's between you and God. I can't make you do it. I can't twist your arm to do it. But all I'd say is, if you love Jesus and you're interested in having revival, a personal revival, a church-wide revival, maybe a city-wide revival, maybe we need to push away from some of this stuff.
Sure.
You can't disagree. It ain't good for us, probably. It's a time waster. It's fun for the flesh. We gratify our flesh through all that. Where's God in all that?
Amen.
Amen. I'm just saying, it's not the wisdom of this world. It's not the princes of this world. No spiritual or political leader has the monopoly on the wisdom of God.
True.
Amen.
That's right.
They are set at naught. Not only meat, but we notice with me the mystery he talks about in verse number 7 of chapter number 2.
Yeah.
He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Well, everybody likes a good mystery, don't they?
Yeah.
I like a good mystery myself. I like to try to figure it out. My wife, she'll just go to the end of the book and read it and find out.
My.
I don't like to do that. I'm okay with spoiler alert sometimes. Sometimes I'm not. Amen. Most people think, well, Brother Chris don't like spoiler alerts. Amen. About a good mystery. Amen. Well, Paul says right here, he uses that word. He uses this terminology. In verse number 7. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. This means it has been hidden by God.
Yeah.
Hidden wisdom means that its nature is to be concealed from the eyes of carnal men. I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's one reason after you are saved that you want to read your Bible and pray and grow in the grace of God and the knowledge of God.
That's right.
Can I let you in on something here? I'm about to make a bold statement, but I believe it.
Yeah.
Carnal people will never be let in on the deep things of God and the secret things of God.
That's right.
You have to make a choice.
Yes, sir.
Of how much you want the world and how much you want a God.
Amen.
You have to make that choice.
Yes, sir, that's right.
And I feel God's leading me and leading our church in that direction. We're going to have to make a choice.
Amen.
If we really want to go with God or not.
Amen.
I was telling Chris before the service this morning, I read that book on the crucified life of A.W. Tozer. And I thought, man, I probably need to preach this. And the Holy Spirit said, you ain't ready to live it, and the church ain't neither.
Yes, yes.
Got rebuked for that.
Amen.
He said, you ain't ready to preach this. You ain't living that yourself.
Yeah.
He said, the church sure ain't ready for it.
Amen.
So we need to get ready for it.
Amen.
I like to preach it. Pray that I'll get right with God so I can preach it.
Amen.
Amen.
Right, right.
God help us.
Amen.
Carnal people never let in on the deep things of God.
Right.
You know, we may not like it, but Jesus had an inner circle.
Uh-huh. That's the truth.
Jesus had an inner circle.
Sure did, brother.
It's Peter, Paul, who was it? Peter,
James, and John.
Peter, James, and John. I don't know how the other disciples felt about that. They got their feelings hurt or not, but Jesus is always picking Peter, James, and John out.
Was.
You say why? I think Brother Fraser preached about that. You say why they go? Because they wanted to. Amen.
Amen.
If you don't be on the inner circle, hey, you can.
Amen.
But it don't take a lot of discipline.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes,
you have to give up some things. Be on the inner circle.
Yes, sir.
One must be partaker of the divine nature to understand it. I'm not going to get all this message. Verse 10, as I said a while ago, speaks of the deep things of God. Well, verse number 10, he's revealing the deep things of God. God can and does reveal his secrets to men. And they that seek him and desire to know or attain more wisdom about God, God will let you see it. Amen.
Yes.
He did in Daniel chapter 2, verse 28, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets.
Amen.
Psalm 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So he's dealing with the meat, he's dealing with the mystery, and then he's dealing with his message. The Bible says here, which God hath ordained before the world unto our glory. Which verse is that? What verse am I looking? Verse number 7. Let me see here. Yeah. verse number 7. I'm talking about the message here. He said, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Yeah. The wisdom of God involves a preparation and blueprint for the salvation of man. There's no worldly wisdom that is capable of grasping these truths and these depths.
Right.
The entire message of God's wisdom is to bring man back into a state of splendor and fellowship with himself. Countless times I've said, if the devil can keep you from getting saved,
Yep.
is that subjective as to keep you from being spiritual?
Right.
And he'll fight that with everything within him.
Right.
You say, why? Because the devil hates spiritual people.
Sure.
The devil hates somebody that'll learn how to pray. The devil hates somebody that'll love Jesus more than they love themselves and the world. I tell you, the devil hates people like that, amen. And so what does he do? He'll throw everything in your way. He'll throw everything in the front of your steps. He'll do everything to discourage you and to defeat you. And if he can, he'll try to take you out before you ever get spiritual with God.
That's right.
He wants you to be carnal. He wants you to be fleshly. And when he sees somebody, listen, you just attempt and you say, Lord, this upcoming week, Lord, I am going to turn that blame thing off, and I'm going to spend my time with you that I was spent with that, and I want to get closer to you. I want to repent. I want to be right with God. Sure as you do that, brother, I'm telling you, the fiery darts are coming at you, and you better be ready for a fight.
That's right.
Amen.
It'll be on, amen.
Oh, yes.
That's right. And so I'm just simply saying that, if he can't keep from getting saved, he'll keep you carnal and fleshly. Well, you say why? Because you're no count for God when you're that way. You're no danger to Satan when you're that way. You know, the problem, we could probably count our hands tonight of the people that the devil's even scared of.
Oh yeah.
Leonard Ravenhill wrote a great book on Sodom had no Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Sodom had no Bible.
That's right.
And one of those chapters in that book, I believe it's that book, might have been a different book, but I'm pretty sure it's in that book. He wrote a chapter on known in hell.
Yeah.
And he uses that scripture over in the book of Acts where them guys thought they was going to cast them demons out, and them demons jumped on them and made havoc of them, amen.
Oh, yeah.
And they looked at them guys, them demons looked at them guys and said, Paul I know,
yep,
and Jesus I know, but who are you?
That's right.
Paul was known in hell.
He was.
Jesus was known in hell. I wonder if hell knows anything about us.
Amen.
I wonder if we took a stab at being spiritual strong enough to even make a little quiver in hell. Oh, I'm telling you, my friend, this evening. Oh, listen, we need to be known in hell. We need to get close to God, amen. The devil needs to know we're around, not that we're challenging the devil, but praise God, there's somebody over here on 12th Street. Bless God, amen.
Amen.
Oh, he doesn't want you to go in wisdom into a perfect and mature believer, for these kind become a real threat to his work.
Yeah.
And so that's the message. And then the misunderstanding here, verse number 9. I done covered that right there. Frequently, when people read that verse, I've already said before the message, they relate to the full knowledge.
Yeah.
That we'll receive in heaven. That's not what that means. The eye and the ear and the heart represent the natural wisdom and the comprehension of man. Yet there is far more to learn about God in this life than that. The Lord stands and the Spirit is waiting to teach the believer the unsearchable riches of Christ right now, today. He wants to teach us these things. So what did Paul say in Ephesians 3:8? Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So let's go back to the problem. Carnality. Carnal thinking, fleshly thinking, has always limited full understanding of God in the mind of man. Man by himself is incapable of comprehending the depths of God's wisdom. You can't do it. And if you could, he wouldn't be God.
Right.
Oh, I tell you, I've got so much help on this thing about God. If I could figure out God, he wouldn't be God.
Amen.
If I could know everything there is about God, he wouldn't be God.
Right, right.
We can't know everything about God.
Amen.
I mean, if you just to sit down and just sit there for about 30 minutes and don't do much, just think about God. I tried to do that the other day and it blew my mind.
Amen.
What little I had. I just sat there and I said, God, I'm just going to think about you.
Amen.
And the first thing I thought about when I thought about God,
yeah,
my mind went to his love, the love of God.
Sure.
Whew. And that got so big, I said, well, I can't think about that. I can't comprehend all that. And then I got to think about salvation. And yeah. All that led, when I got to think about God, I got to think about all that other stuff.
Yeah.
It's hard to just think about God.
Amen.
Whew. Far more to learn about God in this life we'll ever learn. But the Lord stands and the Spirit is waiting to teach the believer the unsearchable riches of Christ. So carnality, carnal thinking is always limited the full understanding of God, the mind of man. Man himself, as I've said, is incapable of comprehending the depths of God's wisdom. God's wisdom can only be spiritually discerned. So what I'm saying tonight is don't stay carnal, but grow in the grace of God and the wisdom of God. I don't know if I'd have time to get and rest this, but I got time at 8 o'clock. We're doing well. So let's look right quick in chapter 3 about the analysis of the people. Verse number 14, chapter 3, verse number 14, I believe it is here. Well, that's not what I'm wanting to go, but anyhow, chapter 3, maybe it's 2:14. Yeah, that's what it is. Bible said, the natural man received, chapter 2, verse 14, the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God. For they're foolish unto him, neither can they know them, because they're spirits to discern. Yep. So there's three people I mentioned a while ago. There's the lost man here.
Yep.
This is speaking about the condemned man, the lost man.
Yes, sir.
The natural man. He's depraved. I've given you all this stuff before, but listen to me. The Bible calls him natural. It means he's controlled by the power of the flesh and the temptations of the devil. He's depraved. He's in darkness. The Bible says here that he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
Right.
His depraved nature leads him right into rebellion. He's unwilling to receive what God says. We know that, don't we?
That's right.
You ever try to talk to anybody about Jesus? The unwillingness Amen. Of them to listen to you? I mean, I've had people just, I'm not interested, shut the door. I mean, they won't even give you, won't even let you get your foot in the door. Won't you? They're unwilling to listen.
That's right.
That's the condemned man, the lost man. He's depraved. He's in darkness. He's deceived. Neither can he know them.
Right.
The natural man cannot perceive truth. He's been deceived by Satan, the god of this world. So he's depraved. He's in darkness. He's deceived. He's deluded. They are spiritually discerned. That's talking about the scriptures. So even if a natural man accepts what God says, he can never fully comprehend his purposes within himself. It takes the Holy Spirit to help you to understand the scriptures.
Amen.
Now I'll be the first to confess, I don't understand everything about the Bible. And I don't believe there's no man that would stand up here and say that he does and not have to lie about it. So the things of the Spirit of God are spiritually discerned. So since the natural man does not have the Holy Spirit living in him, he cannot discern the things of the Spirit.
Right.
He can't comprehend this stuff.
Right.
That's the reason the Bible's a dead book to the sinner.
Amen.
It don't mean nothing to him. The Spirit can speak to a man that's lost if he reads the Bible and convict him about his need for God. But as far as understanding any of the things of the Bible, they just can't quite get a hold of it.
That's right.
Because they don't have the Holy Spirit living in them.
Amen.
And Jesus said he'd be our teacher.
Right.
He would guide us and help us. Amen. And so that's a little bit about the lost man. Then we in verse number 15 here, we have the converted man. This is the spiritual man.
Yeah.
Chapter 2, verse 15. But he that is spiritual. Wow, what a mouthful.
Yeah.
But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. What about that? This is the man that lives supernaturally. Oh, to be that man. Oh, that God would help us.
Amen.
The word spiritual here pertains to the person of the Holy Ghost. It refers to a person who is filled and governed by the Holy Spirit. This person lives by the power of the Spirit. He learns by the power of the Spirit. And thank God he is liberated by the power of the Spirit. The spiritual man is not under the bondage of legalism. Amen. Bible says he judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. This does not mean that the Christian is never judged, but the Spirit's leadership is the Christian's self-judgment. Amen.
Yeah.
So the spiritual man lives such an exemplary life that no man can judge him. Ball and live that way, don't you?
Amen.
We need to be living in such a manner that if somebody accuses us for something, nobody would ever believe it.
Thank God.
Amen.
That's
how I want to live, Brother Chris. That's how I want to live, Brother Joe. Amen. I want to live so close to God, somebody spreads a lie on me that nobody even believe it. This ain't no way.
Amen.
Now, brother, you got to live way up higher to do that now. You've got to really walk with God in order to have that kind of testimony.
Sir, that's right.
That's right. And so the spiritual man, oh man, I love that. But let me say something right quick in closing about the compromising man, the carnal man. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, I didn't read those verses. These people, whether they're a man or a woman, lives the unnatural life. They're controlled by and centered upon their own flesh and all that is earthly. Talking about the carnal man now, the carnal woman. They're controlled and their lives are centered on the flesh and things that are earthly. There are two things about this particular person. Number one, they are deprived. If you'll notice in verse number 1, chapter 3, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Now, it's a hard pill to swallow, but what does he call these people under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost? He calls them brethren. Mm-hmm. These people are saved, but they're carnal. Right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so these people, number one, they're deprived of a spiritual fellowship.
Yes.
He says, and I, brethren, cannot speak to you as unto spiritual. Carnal believers miss the closeness and the edification of the spiritual brethren.
Amen.
The carnal are unable of sharing spiritual information. They cannot apply spiritual information they receive to their lives. It's amazing how few people can even carry on a spiritual conversation.
True.
These people at Corinth were childish.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, brother, they were childish. They were untaught. They were unskilled. I don't know who the pastor was at Corinth, but he must not have been doing a good job. God help me, Jesus. Amen. You know, every time I point my finger, it's about 5 or 20 pointing back at me. Yeah, you the problem, boy. Help me, Lord. So what are we saying? These people were childish. They were untaught. They were unskilled. They deprive themselves of the important things in life for the less important. And it all goes back to neglecting the Word.
That's right.
Amen. And so, I'm about to make a bold statement here and we're not going to like it, but it's the truth. If we know more about what's going on in the world than you do the church and the things of God, you and I, my friend, are carnal.
Amen.
That's right.
If you know more things about the things of the world than you know about the Bible,
that's right.
And you're saved, you're carnal.
Amen.
And the question is, are you saved? Right. Well, yeah, I'm saved. Well, you're carnal.
Right.
I mean, I have a bad memory. I'm going to use that as my crutch and my alibi. Not my alibi, but my excuse.
Yeah.
I wish I could remember things. But I probably couldn't tell you the 12 disciples. And that's a shame. I have a hard time remembering. I need to get down and really memorize that. 12 disciples, amen. All the books in the Bible.
Yep.
Memorization. Some of you make you do it, make can't, I don't know. But I bet you know the statistics on that team you're pulling for.
Tell it, brother.
You know the best players.
Preach, brother.
They're shaking their head no, but they don't pull for no team, so that don't apply to you.
Exactly. Yep.
I'm just saying, if we know more about things in the world, we do things to God, we're just carnal.
Tell it, brother.
And next thing we need to ask ourselves, is that really pleasing to God or?
Amen.
What I'm saying is they were deprived of spiritual fellowship. They weren't only depriving themselves, but others around them. See, birds of a feather flock together. That's the reason some people don't want others to get spiritual. And they hold them back because they don't, so they won't look so bad when they're up against that person, amen.
Right. Yeah.
Don't never be a wet blanket in somebody else's life. If somebody wants to do something you ain't never going to be willing to do, leave them alone. Don't criticize them and condemn them. If somebody wants to kick out the stupid TV and never watch TV again, don't fuss at people like that. Don't think they're trying to be more holier than you. They just want a closer walk and they're willing to pay the price, and you're not.
That's right.
That boils my blood. I get in the flesh and I think about junk. People like that.
Sure.
Won't quench a fire in somebody's life. Won't be spiritual.
Amen.
Right. That's right. Some parents, and I've had to deal with them through the years.
Sure.
Don't have that problem right now. Not say I won't never have it again. Yeah. I have had that problem days gone by when the children get on fire for God, won't get separated, come back from camp, won't set the world on fire, yeah, and put their parents under conviction.
Yeah. Right.
Then they're calling me. What have you done to my youngin?
Yep.
What have you done to old so-and-so?
Yep.
Don't put the fire out.
Amen.
Don't throw cold water on them.
Amen.
If God's working in your heart, fan the fire. I tell you why you don't like it, because you're carnal and they're going to show your sorry hide up.
Amen.
They're going to make you look bad. They're going to make mom and dad look bad.
Amen.
It's the reason people thought, no, you ain't doing that. I had a young lady years ago come back from camp, and she God touched her heart up there, convicted her about wearing bikinis.
Mm-hmm.
She told her mom I ain't wearing bikinis. She said, you are. She said, I don't want to wear it. Well, you're going to.
Preach,
can you believe a mother would be that spiritually stupid and ignorant to keep her young daughter who wants to start dressing right and forbid her not to...
Yes.
You are going to wear it.
Yep.
Is that not crazy?
Yes, sir, it is.
Throw them out there to the wolves, man.
Yep.
It's awful. Now listen, they're depriving themselves and their children from knowing anything about God. I tell you right now, some of that crowd, they're still, if they was saved, they're right now, they're still as carnal as corn sucks as they've always been. They ain't never got nowhere with God because they're not willing to give up anything for God. What will you give up for God? What will I give up for God? What are we going to give up for God?
Amen.
You willing to give up anything for God?
Right.
You willing to quit anything that God puts his finger on?
Amen.
Well, if you really want God, you get hungry and thirsty enough for God, you'll be willing to lay on the altar, toe shredder, and say, Lord, I know my flesh loves it, my flesh craves it, but if you really insist on me doing that or not doing that, help me, Lord.
Yeah. That's right.
They were not only deprived of spiritual fellowship, but they were deprived of spiritual food.
Amen.
He said, I fed you with milk,
right,
and not with meat.
That's right.
Their childlessness limited Paul's ability to feed them strong meat.
Yeah.
So I've learned tonight that I am not as spiritual as I thought I was at the beginning of the service.
Amen.
They're not only depraved, but they were divisive.
Oh, yeah.
It's right here in the Bible.
Yes.
He said, there's among you. He said, in this church, there's among you envying and strife and division. These things were going on in the church.
Yes, sir.
And they were there. They were alive, and they were working to the disadvantage of this church. The Bible says envying. That pertains to rivalry. It means competition. People get in competition at church.
Right.
That competition spirit. I've seen that a few times along the way. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Envying also means a feeling of uneasiness at the superior condition and happiness of another. It's real closely related to the word jealousy. It also means an ill will at others on account of some supposed superiority, envying.
Yeah.
The word strife means to argue and wrangling caused by debate.
Mm-hmm.
That goes on in our Baptist churches.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to debate about things. I've seen that church before. Seen that before. It's nothing less than heated discussions in church. Strife. Huh. Then that word division. plural. It's plural. Divisions. Plural means to separate or a disunion that is caused by envying and strife. If you got envy and strife going on, you're gonna have it won't be long you have division.
Right.
So what do we need to do? We need to stab envy and strife. We need to kill it.
Yes, sir.
If we have any in us or in it. Have anything going on. So we can safely say that all the visions you see in this church have a root in envy and strife. And this is the carnal people.
Oh, yeah.
The carnal church doing this. Amen.
Yes.
Carnality.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. The carnal man. They're deprived and they're divisive. And so what do? Well, we got to make up our mind tonight, church, that we are going to grow in grace and the wisdom of God. Listen, God's wisdom can only be spiritually discerned. So what I'm saying tonight, God help us not to stay carnal, but grow in the grace and the wisdom of God. That's what Paul's wanting this crowd to do, amen.
Right.
That's right. We want them to grow in grace. So grow in grace. And I feel like that we have grown some in grace. And I praise God for that.
Amen.
Maturity. Spiritual maturity.